It's like when you hurt yourself, and if it's still open and I press it, you will be hurt. And it's like that. And you can be triggered by everything that I have learned with psychology. It can be even a color of something can remind you and trigger you.
Oh, ain't that the truth?
Like this notion of liberty, for example. What is liberty?
And I think that concept of the will is very important.
What the? Who says you can't build muscle on a vegan diet? Or you can be the change, fall
straight from inside, break through the chains, no one to blame, nothing. What's it like being a hottie in the vegan community?
Bitcoin will not work as digital gold.
Engineering, technology, these arts of humanity, they are magic.
Everyone deserves the same chance, the same treatment, the same respect.
Boom shakalaka, ladies and gentlemen, freaks and geeks, brothers and sisters around the world. You are listening or watching the Crucial Journey podcast, the most conscious podcast in the multiverse. Not the country, not the planet, not the universe, the entire multiverse, ladies and gentlemen. I am streaming consciousness. I talk about science, spirituality. We get beautiful conscious girls, women, I apologize, in here, like the beautiful Elena, to talk about her journey and everything going on in this crazy world that we are immersed in. Ladies and gentlemen, before I get into this amazing interview with Helena here, my special guest for the day, I just want to get some business out of the way. First of all, you guys can find me on the Spotify's, on the iTunes, on the Telegram. You can go straight to chrisshule.com where you can find my music along with my podcast and everything else I do in this world. I do a lot of things. I'm a very talented brother. But also, you can find me on Patreon. I have a very lonely Patreon. If you guys want to support me, show your love, or just find out all the cool things that I'm into, you can check us out there. Ladies and gentlemen, as I was saying, I got a very special guest here. I got Helena. Helena is someone that actually found me, interestingly enough, on the TikToks. I've never had someone that found me on the TikToks on my podcast yet, so this is a first. And she is a very conscious light. We actually met up at the Mind, Body, and Spirit Festival just a few weeks ago, where I'm so glad you invited me because I got to meet so many conscious people, and we had this awesome conversation full of conscious minds talking about everything that's going on in the world. I love moments like that. I love meeting people that have the same views as you, but not necessarily the same views, just on the same kind of wavelength, and you get like a whole bunch of people on that wavelength. Sometimes it just creates this amazing energy, and we had a moment like that between you, myself, and a few other conscious brothers. And I got the opportunity to interview Scott, who you would have, hopefully, if you checked out my podcast, you would have enjoyed the episode on. And of course, I wanted to have Helena on here. Helena, you are a very conscious lass. You are someone that has had a lot of rich experiences. To be honest, I feel like I don't know that much about you. What I do know, I love. But I thought this would be a great opportunity for you to delve into your journey, because I know it's had a lot of ups and downs, as all great stories have had. And you're someone that really is living in this in the world. You know, you are in the world but not of it, and that's a beautiful way of expressing someone that is walking the path, that is trying to bring about an efflorescence of consciousness and strive to do the great work, as they say. So ladies and gentlemen, I'm introducing Helena. Do you want to tell us a bit about yourself?
Yeah,
who you are?
Hello.
Thank purpose,
you,
your
thank
passion.
You so much for welcoming me here. So as you can notice, I'm from France, so this is for my accent. But thank you for the introduction, and I'm so glad to be here. I'm so grateful to connect and to be on that podcast. This is amazing. I did this. This is a part of the journey, and I love it. So I'm going to start, like, how to start? Like, I did a video yesterday about it on TikTok, but I was grateful for all the things happened in my life. I wanted to be grateful because today it's my birthday. But, you know, it's like a new day. Every day you can create your reality, and you can create, like, it's the first time you arrive in this planet, and you can choose every day who you want to be. And this is what I understand here in Australia. So I'm very grateful for this journey in Australia. But I think the journey starts when I was 17 years old. So I think I start to be aware about my anxiety. I had a lot of PTSD anxiety. I didn't know why. I mean, I was not aware. I was in denial. So I just start to ask.
You were where? You were in denial? I was trying to make a joke. I love your accent. You were in denial.
I was not aware.
You're not aware. God, yeah, yeah. I hear you. Don't you love her accent, ladies and gentlemen? That's one of the coolest things about her. But I'm sorry. I should let you go on. I just every time you say something that I don't fully understand, I have to.
The woman can't express. They're always the man. No.
I'm mansplaining. That's right. I'll let you go on with your journey. So you were in denial.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I just start to ask, and when you ask, your subconscious. So you have the answer. So this is crazy. So you have to be very careful because the mind will show you why. It's for that you have to ask the right question. And I'm going to talk about it. I love the sentence in the Bible, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, and knock and the door open. So I will explain later. But I start with asking, and I was like, crazy, like going crazy, especially when I was 20, because I was in a toxic relationship and I wanted to get out of here. So I started to ask why my body hurts, what I'm feeling anxious, why me? So the life showed me why, and I started to have the answer. So at this time, I was really into meditation, hypnosis, neuroscience that helped me to manage that anxiety, but only in the surface,
okay,
not deep inside, because at this time I couldn't offer myself like to go to the psychologist and do the healing process.
Okay, not to stop the flow, but I just want to get a better understanding of your situation. So you had gone through something very traumatic, and it wasn't just affecting you here within the head, but like this was manifesting as physical problems as well.
Yeah.
So how was this affecting you, like in your ability to, like you were very anxious? Was there anything else that was going on here?
So I had problem like with sexuality. Like I just,
that's such a big thing. Like what does it mean? Sexuality.
Like I mean.
I love that word. It can mean so many things. Like, I wasn't sure who I was as a woman.
This is very deep, but this I really believe, like, to heal yourself, you meet like mirror in life.
Okay.
And for me, it was men. So how I just meet men want to rush and to have sex, but at this time, like, it's like there was something blocking, not just for me, but from the men. But I was taking that personally. Oh, it's my fault. Well, what's happening? Blah blah blah. I couldn't understand. Mm-hmm. Until I had to start my memory from my childhood come back. I think it was 3 years ago, because I was asking, because I was reading book about feminine energy. I start to manifest with the power of breathing and with the power of this sexual energy, but different energy. You know, like you have baby, you can manifest with your sexual energy and you don't have to have a sexual act. So I did some exercise, I did some breathing, but as well, you need to do the healing part. Mm. And so my brain showed me what happened in my childhood. So I started to see this flashback, and I've been sexual abused when I was a child. So it started in my nearly age, but I couldn't have the proof at this time because my family don't talk. And so after my mom, she started to talk about it, and I start to have intuition when I just meditate. I start to have like memories, and I ask my mom, and she say, yeah, that's happened, this is true. So I start to understand, yeah, it was happening. Because when you start to remember, it's like it's a dream, you know, you're not like, oh no, I'm dreaming, I'm creating that. And until the moment I had the money to offer an eye movement therapy, EMDR.
Is it eye movement therapy?
Yeah.
Is that actually a thing? It's not your accent? It's called eye movement therapy.
No, it's EMDR, but oh my God, how to yeah, it's eye movement therapy.
Okay.
Yeah, you can check. And my psychologist tell me, oh, do you have sensation in your body, and yeah, I had sensation between my legs when we do the eye movement therapy. So basically, it's like you do the gymnastic of your eyes.
Okay.
And that reconnect the right brain and the left brain.
That's interesting.
Because
so these are exercises dealing with focus where you move your eye. Like they
so you can do with the finger, or you can do with a little like machine or something.
Okay.
And you close your eyes and that do the work, or you do this exercise. And yeah.
That's interesting that there is a physical connection between, I mean, it's not surprising, between the mind, you know, by doing physical or eye movement, it can address the left and right hemispheres of the brain and address other mental disorders. A lot of people don't often connect the physical side of things to connecting to spiritual things, but obviously there is a strong connection there. So by doing it, was it more than just eye movements that you were doing with this therapy?
I mean, it was also a little bit talking, but not too much talking. It's not like psychiatrist. You don't talk about the trauma, or you get stuck, you know. So it's more reconnect to the body and calm the mind. That helped me a lot. And recently I did with a friend, like she do on me, and that's helped a lot.
Wow.
As well. But I think this technique is linked to other technique like EFT.
What's EFT?
It's a movement as well, therapy, like you use tapping therapy.
Oh, tapping. I've heard of that. A lot of people, as a way of calming themselves and dealing with a whole bunch of things, anxiety.
Yeah. And you repeat, you know, I'm confident, I love myself. But different things helped me on my journey, and especially the breath work I discovered last year in Australia. So this is the biggest thing I think with eye movement therapy is the breath work I discovered last year when I arrived in Australia. I was just scrolling on TikTok and I put the intention, I want to do breath work. And the first TikTok I saw, it's a TikTok from Believe in Your Breath. So I did my first session with Bo. Hello, Bo. And he became my mentor with his wife, Kirsty. And yeah, it was just amazing how I can heal myself with only breathing. Like I was like, okay, this is a thing. And that's what you can manifest with breathing.
Well, breathing is everything. I mean, it's something that we cannot exist without. Mm. So it's funny, not even that long ago, I used to think like, what is this breath work you're talking about? Because last guy I interviewed, Scotty, shout out to Scott, is a breath work coach. And I'm like, well, it's simply breathing is going to help deal with all these problems and reshape people's lives. But the real issue is that people don't breathe correctly. They don't breathe deeply enough. They don't really tap into the power of their breaths.
Mm.
And yeah, there's a lot of power in sometimes the most innocuous things. That means like not really overbearing, very, you know, but I like to use big words, but it's amazing how powerful something like that can be, and the eye movement therapy, how that changed you. I wanted to ask, because you mentioned that you only became aware of this issue that was from the past, that you had some trauma that happened in your life after getting some kind of intuition. Am I on the right track? What are your thoughts on what happened there? It's interesting that you only just remember that after so many, I'm guessing it was it happened well before you were 17, 20, right?
The
repression, it's interesting how that comes into effect.
I've learned the trauma start when I was 1 year old. So yeah, when I was a baby. So this is crazy.
You can remember when you were 1 year old?
I mean, I remember I was separated from my mother and my father for 1 year, for 9 months. But I didn't know why. It's like
what, in the womb or like what?
I was in a in a nanny, like a nanny. I used to go to a nanny, so I explain a little bit. So I used to go to a nanny because my real father stole money from my mother, and she had to work at night. So I had to go to this nanny, and one day I said to this nanny, "Oh, my mom hurt me between my legs." Apparently, at 1 year old, I told that. So this is the story.
How old were you when you told this?
1 year. One.
Okay.
So just like a baby language, like I think it's earth between my legs. But at the same time, I have this intuition when I've been to my father's house, they were my grandmother, and they still criticize my mother and say, oh, she don't love you. And they want to have me, you know, to keep me. So I think it's a story they tell me it was my mom, but in real life, I feel it's my dad because he did until I was 18. So I had a father, he manipulated me, he was into addiction, alcohol, gambling, everything. It's like I was the only one aware. But the thing is, when you have a child, you know, it's very easy to control this child, especially 0 to 7 years we are in the subconscious mind.
That's right.
So there is no consciousness. Mm. So
they call it the formative years for a reason. I mean, there's a phrase by the Jesuit priest, you know, give me the child until he's six and I'll give you the man. And the idea is that within these early years, this is where you have the biggest influence on a child. Who you are at those years will manifest itself into the rest of your life. So it's so important what happens to you at those young ages.
Yeah. And you know, when I observe my life when I was 20s and until I think 24, it's a reflection mirror from my childhood, because at this age what my father showed me is, you know, alcohol, sexuality, and things that I was not supposed to see.
What do you mean? So your dad, like, he was showing you alcohol, like, was he going about doing things like that in his life in terms of drinking? Or, like, was he giving you alcohol at a young age?
No. It was, like, when I was with him.
Yeah,
was
you were
drinking.
Seeing that.
He was drinking and used to talk with me and criticize me and sexualize my body and touch my body and, abuse on me. And he always repeat this sentence, don't tell your mother, I will tell her. And this is how my awakening start when I was 70 years old. I had the mother of my ex just died of a cancer. So he pretend to have a cancer, he just lie down, create this scene. And I start at this time to go out, to have fun, you know. And he said to me, yeah, I have a cancer, please love me, you know. He was looking for that, this affection. And he said, yeah, don't tell your mother, I will tell her. So this is the sentence that helped me to wake. Because at this time I was walking with my mom and I couldn't say everything, but one day I just start to cry because I have to fight with my mother, and I told her. And after, she called my father and he said, no, it's not true, I don't have a cancer. So he lied to me, and this is how it starts, because he starts to say, oh, I can't trust you. And at the end, it was a phone call, and he told me, yeah, you're not my daughter anymore, you're a slut.
Oh, God.
It was the first rejection in my life. I mean, there was some rejection because it was not really here, you know. I think in my journey, I had the experience of different, I don't know how to explain, but I had the rejection, the humiliation.
To think this happened in your formative years, like when most people speak about trauma, I'm inclined to think that they're talking about things that happened, when they were at least aware. Like most people, I would think, don't remember anything past 3 or 4 years old, you know? Like people find it, I can remember when I was 2 years old, you know? People find that impressive, you know? Mm. You have memories of when you were one.
Yeah.
And to take that memory into your adult life, something that was as difficult as that surely must have been an incredible challenge, you know?
Yeah, so. It's a challenging, because I had to go through this healing experience, because it's like I don't have choice. I have to go through that. I have to heal. I don't want to repeat, because I believe in transgenerational trauma when I observe my family. And now I start to be aware why he did that. It was not himself. I mean, he was on alcohol, etc. Like, you can be conscious, and I didn't want to repeat. Even if there is some people, they have the desire, you know, to do something. I didn't have the desire, thank God. But there is some people like...
Desire. You say it so much better. It sounds better. You know? I just love mocking you with your... I love it, you know. Desire.
They understand. And so it's interesting because I had a podcast with a friend from New York.
Okay.
And he's a Frenchman as well, but he speaks English. And he helped a prisoner in Los Angeles. And they were abuser, like pedophile. And he helped them with meditation. And he's been abused. So it's like, oh my God, this man doing that. And he helped people to be happy from the jail, you know. And most of them, they've been abused. So there's something repeating.
Yeah. Let's just, as my friend Scott always says, you know, let's just take a moment to breathe and appreciate the magnitude of life. He says something cooler than that, but I just wanted to add my own creative license there. But that, first of all, I wanted to pause and just appreciate just everything that you've said, because that's a lot to take on, you know. Mm. There's a lot of trauma that's affected you, but you also speak about generational trauma, and you. One of the things I want to delve into, right, are one of the topics I want to delve into is, at what point do we take ownership of things that have happened to us? Like, for instance, the prisoners, right? They have done horrible things, but they've obviously gone through a horrible childhood. Now, it would be easy for them to say, "Hey, look, it's not my fault. It's my horror. It's my childhood." Or, you know, I don't want to sound dark, you know, I want to, with this, but like your dad, you know, God forbid, like, I mean, all this stuff has happened, right? And he's had, I don't know if you know too much about your dad's childhood, but I would assume maybe he's gone through some difficulties as well. He's dealt with some traumas. At what point does it become your responsibility? And I love your attitude that you've taken upon yourself to deal with the traumas that you've gone through so they don't affect you. Or affect your family if you have a family in the future. And this is an important point for me, because a lot of people, I feel, don't want to accept the idea that they're not responsible for the things that have happened to them. They are responsible not to repeat those things to other people, you know? Like, I could easily say that, you know, my brothers and sisters, we suffered long out of the white man's regime, you know? And because of that, I'm fucked up, yo. The white man fucked my ancestors up. You know how those African Americans are talking about? You know, it's because of all the horrible things that happened many hundreds of years ago, and I want my reparations? Well, that happened to your ancestors, but at what point do you say, hey, look, I am not the product of what has happened in my ancestry? How do you feel about that?
I don't know, because I always, even if that happened and some challenge happened, I always trust and believe in love, and what's happened don't going to define my destiny, and I can create my reality. And I understand that thanks to the people I follow, my mentor, people inspire me. And yeah, I just believe I can have the life I want and the life I deserve. So it's my responsibility to heal. And when you heal yourself, you will be surprised people heal around you. And that doesn't mean if my dad heal, I will accept him in my life. But I have the example with my mother, with some friend. At first, they didn't understand why, you know, they thought I was crazy, you know. I was like just... you know, go deep in my trauma, and I was feeling like very sad, depressed. This is challenging, you know. But more you heal, more the people match your energy with they connect. So you just, I don't know.
Did you have to deal with a lot of people doubting what you were saying? Because it's one thing remembering something that happened a few years ago, but you were speaking about things that happened, you know, when you were 1 year, year old. Did you have family, friends that were just assuming that you were perhaps hallucinating these things? Like, how did that affect you?
No. I think they were shocked as well. My mom especially was shocked, of course. She was feeling guilty because you let your child. So, no.
So just specifically in regards to, like, you know how you're speaking about what happened to you when you were 1 year old? I mean, was it just your mom that you told about that?
Oh, no, I didn't tell my mom. I mean, so my mom, she was just have to go to a jail, I think, for 9 months. But we never
missed that. What do you mean?
My mom.
Yeah, she had to go to jail.
Yeah.
She had to go to jail for why? How?
Because they thought that she touched me, like she abused on me.
Oh, I see. So your mom took the responsibility of that.
Yeah.
When it was, it was your dad.
Yeah, because I never talked with my mom. I couldn't. He programmed me to not talk. So I never talked until I was 24
or 23. That's all kinds of fucked up. Yeah, that's so. At this point in time, when your mom's going to jail, you're with your dad.
No, I'm with my nanny.
With your nanny, okay. And your nanny, did they think that your mom was the one that was responsible for all of that? And the whole time you knew it to be your dad.
I feel something inside, but the feeling start when I was 17. I start to be aware. I start to see how he act, how he talk. Before I was like, you know, when a trauma happened, is the fight and flight mode or the freeze. I was more in the freeze, like I couldn't talk. One day I remember, this is my biggest trauma. Mm-hmm. Like we just been to a party in the village. He was very drunk. And we just go home and he starts to criticize me, to put me down. And he was very sad because I just lost my brother. One of my brother died.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I didn't even... Yeah. I'm not sure. I don't think you told me that.
Yeah. So it was a long time ago, but it was
incredibly
like,
difficult.
This time, nobody talk about that. You know, I couldn't go to
You two were close?
Not so much because at this time my brother didn't want to see me because of my father. So this is what tricky as well.
Family situations are so difficult.
Yeah, my family,
you know?
Like this part of this family. Yeah, so during this trauma, I remember my father very like cried, sad, and just to rescue him, you know, to calm him, he asked me to do something, you know, and this is how I remember the abuse. And then at this moment, I just remember I called my mom. The next day, my mom and my stepfather come. And I asked my mom, do you remember this time? What happened? What did I tell you? And she said, oh, you didn't tell me like nothing. You say, oh, no, nothing happened. But a lot of things happened this night.
Yeah.
I couldn't express. So, yeah, it was a lot. Like, you know, I was just... don't express myself for 24 years. So it was, yeah.
Yeah, that is an incredible journey. Difficult thing, to say the least, to have to burden. And, you know, I think back on just some of the things that I've dealt with that I think are resolved, but they're still laying in my subconscious. Like, it made me realize how many things that you've dealt with in the past, in your youth, that are still manifesting as trauma in this day and age, you know? Because sometimes, I think for most of us, it's really difficult for us to know why we're upset, because the conscious mind is only intermittently in contact with the subconscious, and we typically manifest what is going on within our subconscious. So that means we don't know why we're pissed off, why we're agitated, but we are. So sometimes people are like, why am I so angry? Why am I so frustrated right now? Why do I feel so hurt? And you have to go back deeper than the surface argument that may have erupted that has pissed you off. It's actually touched on a nerve, touched on something that happened to you when you were a little child, and perhaps someone neglected you. I had a close friend that would tell me about how we were speaking about the most traumatic moments that had affected our life, and he spoke about some things that seemed so innocuous. It was something as simple as his dad making fun of him, you know, like he'd basically this is a child mind, you're like a little kid. I think he'd done a poo or something like that on his nappies, and I think his dad was really upset or something like that. But something as innocuous as that, because of the way that it made him feel, that had left some form of like a feeling of apprehension, rejection, that was still manifesting in this adult life that he was living now. So it's crazy just how trauma can manifest itself and how important it is to address that.
Because I've learned, like, you know, the trauma is not the event, it's the, like, the hole, like, you have. and you carry on.
Yeah.
It's like when you hurt yourself, and if it's still open, and I press it, you will be hurt. And it's like that. And you can be triggered by everything that I have learned with psychology. It can be even a color of something can remind you and trigger you.
Oh, ain't that the truth, you know? Yeah. That's why, whereas I think that it's important to learn to deal with the difficult situations to become stronger. I mean, there's this idea of paradua ad astra. That's one of my favorite Latin phrases. I love dropping wisdomatic phrases like that. It means through hardship to the stars. And by going through difficult things, you become stronger. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like snake venom. You develop an immunity when you were given the venom, right? You develop the antibodies and so forth. However, the other side of it is to, because the reality is there are certain events that we're not able to deal with that are actually going to be detrimental to us. The other thing is to surround yourself with the kind of environment that can nurture you to help you to grow, rather than being around things that are triggering you all the time. Create an environment that is inspiring.
Yeah.
I mean, the first thing you should make sure of before you diagnose yourself with depression is that you're not surrounded by assholes, right?
Mm.
So you want to make sure that you have good friends that enrich your life, that aren't trying to bring you down and so forth. But I think it's important to have both of those approaches, because you need to be strong in order to get stronger. But you also need to have the right environment in order to allow you to grow.
Yeah, this is what I did. I think when I was during the lockdown in 2020, there is my intuition told me, okay, go back to meditation. So I did the meditation. And a few hours later, there is a friend, she told me about permaculture. So I don't know if you know about sustainable life,
absolutely.
Community.
This is the Crucial Journey podcast. Like, that's one of the first things I delved into on this podcast. I love that world.
And
yeah.
She just said, oh, check that, Elena, check this course, and you're going to love it. And she was right. So thank you.
Yeah.
And I just jump in and I say to myself, oh my God, I have to find a place where to do permaculture. I can't. I'm in an apartment. I'm with my ex. I don't like this life.
Yeah.
Okay, show me. And so I discovered this community in Nice. It
was like this is in France.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
In France. 5 minutes from the center of Nice. So it's like you go to paradise, like you go to this garden and you meet these people, live in community, want to help you. And I start to find my family, you know, to create my family. I've been there. There was like these spiritual people, more older than me, and we just start to do energy. I remember the first time I was doing like a permaculture workshop, and during the break, there is a friend. She started to do Reiki on me, and I start to feel. I was eyes closed, and I start to feel. I say, "What you doing on me? What's that? I can feel that. Oh, I can feel that." And I start to laugh. We laugh, and I was, oh my God, I want to learn that. So I start for 2 years to be involved in that community, more than 2 years, and even do event about meditation coaching. And I know it was like my safe place, because when I was in Nice, in the city, I was not feeling good. But every weekend I used to go to this community, and that helped me to heal. And since then, I'm into this sustainable life. I even live in a community for 1 month in Italy, in a sacred place in the south of Italy. And I start to live in community. And this was the amazing experience. You know, you just meditate in nature, in a cave with your spiritual soul. You just heal with the group. So I really believe in that. For that, I love to do group coaching, group work, breath work, everything in a group. I think it's so helpful to be supported by others.
Oh, that is powerful. So when you started getting into permaculture, that's when you started meeting more conscious people, into Reiki. Yeah, I often love how things like that are so interconnected. For instance, you go to a yoga studio and you'll find people that are interested in sustainable living. They're interested in health, and like there are all these connections of positivity that that come out of that one thing. So it's always good to have a group of people that are interested in something powerful like that, you know, because it was very similar to me. Like whereas I've always been interested in a lot of these things, like the esoteric side of knowledge, you know, hidden knowledge, and basically understanding how to grow in all areas of life, you know, from science, spirituality, technology, and whatnot. But it wasn't until I met probably people that were part of a movement called the Zeitgeist Movement, which is all about sustainability, essentially trying to create a society where you are using the resources and technology in order to make a more beneficent planet, right? And these people were very much interested in technology, society, and I met a group of guys that put me in contact with other people that were in, and this is actually when I got into permaculture. I'm pretty sure that's what it was like. Just to confirm, like permaculture is where you're growing things sustainably, right? You're using technologies to essentially create healthy food.
Yeah, first you create your design and you observe. So I love it because it's like you can do in your own life with yourself. You design your life. That I love it. And after you do your garden. So first you meditate on it. You see like the wind, the weather, like everything. And then you start to do it. So it's a lot of kind of introspection. Like you design your life. You design your own garden. And then you take action.
Yeah, I got blown away with the technological side of things, like how sustainable it was to create an entire ecosystem, an entire farmland with a limited amount of resources. And a lot of people have this idea that there are too many people on the planet, and we need to have, like, it's too difficult to create a society, you know, that has enough food and so forth. But then you realize there are all of these technologies that can essentially pull water from the air, that can grow, like you have aquaponics, and you have all kinds of technologies where you are maximizing the yield of foods. It's like watching a science fiction movie, right? And then it opens your mind to the reality, which is something that I find within all of these realms, you know, whether it's permaculture or esoteric technologies and whatnot, that there are so many ways of benefiting society that just don't come out into the mainstream. And it's almost as if there is an agenda. In fact, I'd say there is, in order to prevent a lot of these alternative sustainable technologies from coming onto the market and so forth. I mean, the obvious reason is money, power. You know, it makes a lot more sense to have people relying on coal or non-sustainable technologies because you can make more money, as opposed to being able to just pull energy from the ether. And it's a beautiful realization when you come to the understanding that there are so many ways in order to benefit the planet and your life. They are out there. It's just a matter of beginning with the first step, you know, just having the will to actually learn about it.
Yeah, and I think people need to be aware. When you understand why you're doing something, you start to doing more, you know. I think people are not aware. We're like so conditioned, like in this program. So, but nowadays people, even with a lot of money, like people I follow, like my favorite actor, they are doing film about it, about sustainable.
Who's your favorite actor?
Jan Sommerhalder.
Oh, okay. The way that you said that, you even blushed as you said this. This must be some like swashbuckling, good-looking guy. Is he a French actor?
No. He's from Vampire Diaries.
Vampire. Oh, wait a sec. I'm not thinking. Yeah, the really.
Damon.
You know, yeah, he's the black-haired guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a
story about it.
Okay? I got a man crush on him too. You tell me your story first.
Yeah. No, really. You can watch the movie Kiss the Ground, and
okay.
There is another movie doing with other actor, so it's not the only one become aware about it. Mm-hmm. But actually I love this actor because I meet him in the Cannes Festival when
wow.
I was 18. So this is the first time I manifest something. I'm into law of attraction as well.
All right. So
but I was not aware, and it just come to me, talk to me and say I love you and kiss my hand. Yeah, I remember.
Whoa. He approached you like the smooth brother he is.
Yeah.
And just like
I didn't have my phone. My phone was broke by a day.
Well, how did this happen? He just approached you out of nowhere and was like, kissed
no.
your hand. Like,
okay,
I
tell
you
the whole story.
All right.
There was a presenter from France.
Okay.
And he came to me and asked me, do you love Jan Sommerhalder? Of course, I say yes. I'm in love with him.
Wait. Back up. There was a
prison turtle, like a...
Prison turtle?
Like a...
Is that what I heard? I was like, did I hear you say that right? I'm sorry, the accent. I love it, but sometimes
I...
Great
word in English.
Yeah, so
the man from the TV, you know, they presenter show.
A presenter, okay, like a talk show presenter. Yeah, yeah. All right.
So he come to me and he say, "Are you in love with Damon?"
Yeah.
And I say, "Yes, I'm in love with him."
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's the video or
sure.
Come straight. I don't know why. I was like, oh my God, what's happening?
And then
I
he
do
approaches,
something
yeah.
silly. I thought to take his hand and his manager, say do that. But he turned and he take my hand, he kissed my hand and he say, I love you. Oh, he was saying I love you to all the groupie. But and it was the first time I was like, oh my God.
Oh man, you see, the power of celebrity. I love stuff like that.
But, yeah, and I didn't know why I feel, of course, he's good looking, but I don't know why I like him as an actor.
You like him because he was good looking. It's like, he's so amazing, so spiritual. But he's like, he's just hot. Like, you can say it. It's like
now he's doing movie about.
I mean, it
permaculture.
Helps. It helps.
Fun.
Yeah.
He had a dream life with Nicky Red. I want the same thing. But you know, he had this farm, big land. He doing permaculture. He doing movie. This is so cool. I want to do the same.
It is very
thing.
Cool. I love Leonardo DiCaprio for the same reason. You know, like it's cool when you look up to an artist, someone that you admire because you love what they do. But then you find out that they're into all this other cool stuff, and it's powerful. Like I often used to think that the best way to bring about like positive change in the world was to be all kind of like, I want to, you know, go out, get into politics, get into activism and so forth. But the truth is, the power of celebrity is intoxicating. When you're extremely influential by just being good at doing something, you'll find that people will be interested in you for doing that thing, and then they will tend to they'll be more inclined to like things that you do regardless, you know. So if you happen to be someone that, like yourself, you know, that is interested in spirituality and so forth, whereas you're an actress or something like that, or you're a public speaker, you know, people will obviously be drawn to you because you're a great public speaker, but mm-hmm. they'll be like, oh my God, you know, you're into this stuff as well. I'm going to be into that because you're into that. You know, mm-hmm. like it has a lot more sway when someone of influence is into something than when someone that does not have any influences. That's why we're always influenced by the power of celebrity. So yeah. I realized anyway that one of the biggest ways to influence people is to be successful at what you love doing, and then through that you have more influence, more reach.
Yeah, but you don't have to be a celebrity. There's a lot of people inspiring.
Not necessarily. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That I'm sure, but let's be honest. It had like, what's his name again?
Jan Zamorano.
Yeah, Jan Zamorano. It had a lot more sway, Jan Zamorano being into permaculture, than let's say some person you didn't know. It's like, oh, Jan Zamorano's into permaculture. I'm going to have to get into it now with more passion, right? Because it's like, yeah, it's just, you know what I'm saying? I mean, yeah, it's just because I've experienced that as well, you know, on both sides of the spectrum. You know, I've had people that have found me through my music, and then they found out that I'm into all this activism, you know, I'm into sustainability, you know, plant-based lifestyle, all that kind of stuff. And they have been inclined to look into that because they like my music, you know. So it's just something that I think is really beautiful, you know.
Yeah.
But that's a cool story. See if anyone can pull up that video of Jan Zamorano, you know, hitting on you.
You can put the image.
Yeah, I'll see if I can get that in there. Wow. So you have traveled all the way from the beautiful land of France to Australia, mate.
Yeah.
So what made you take on that crazy journey? Oh, why Australia? is it something about this Australian bogans that you like? You love the Australian accent so much. Now, what was it? What brought you here?
So I think it's the universe, because I was not supposed to be here. But two years ago, I was in Malta. I was a tour guide, and mm-hmm. I was struggling with a PTSD, remember all my trauma. And I met this guy in a bar, bachata bar, and he just talked to me about my tattoo. Actually, I have a big dragon, and I have a problem with the root chakra. There is a problem with the red ink. And yeah, there is a meaning.
Can you show it? It's very cool. It's very cool.
Okay,
like, if you can just stand up. Just get back up. It's very, one of the cooler. Oh, yeah, don't. I'm not going to get you to take your, but you can. You can just show us what I want. If you put it up there. Just put it like there.
What's
it is.
That podcast?
Can we? Yeah, it's.
You see, maybe you see there's a problem.
See if I can zoom in on that.
If you're into the seven chakra, you maybe understand the meaning of
what
I told my story about.
All right.
So, he talked to me, And he became my friend, and he had a lot of PTSD as well. Mm-hmm. So it was a trauma bond. He told me that, I think. Like, we become friends, and it was the first man become really my friend. You know, most of the time I attract, like, people want to rush into sexuality.
Well, I mean, that's like guys, pretty much.
Yeah, guys. Sometimes girls, I don't know.
Yeah, I shouldn't. Yeah,
it's another subject. So whatever, and it just became my friend. I think in a few weeks, it was my idea. We did a matching tattoo. So you are the best.
You both got matching tattoos. Yeah. How long have you known each other?
3 weeks.
Oh wow! You see, I love that kind of spontaneity. You know? You see, they're my favorite people. I mean, people. You see, well, I think you call that a trauma bond, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't have trauma bonds. I wouldn't call myself a trauma bonder, right? But I am the kind of personality where I am non-suppressive. Like, when I meet someone, right, I just want to be kind of like, oh, like, bro, no, for real, let's freaking just go. Let's travel to Sydney, just like that. You know, people that are very spontaneous, they think before they act before they think, right? Mm. And they're like my people. They're Aquarians. They're often diagnosed as having some issue, but they're the most, I think the French word sums it up. You know, the joie de vivre? I'm not sure if I pronounced that properly. I butchered that, right?
What's that? But
some guy said that I had that one time. And I was like, it sounded so cool. I looked it up. And apparently it means passion for life. Joie de vivre. I'm butchering it, I'm sure. But those people are the people that you have to, like, you got to take them by the hand and just run through life with. Because it makes life all the more joyous.
Oh yeah, this man is like a soulmate, you know, but as a friend. And it just, I remember I was in the bench in Malta. I was crying for another man want to rush on me into sexuality.
So let me guess. So it's like this. This guy sees you, right, crying on the stage, like, what a beautiful girl like you doing in the island, look.
My boyfriend doesn't appreciate me. He doesn't.
And he's like, oh, really? I will take good care of you, girl. Why don't you come back to my house right now?
No.
I'll take good care of you.
No, I don't tell her. I say, look at me in the eyes. I say, Elena, I'm going to be there for you until you find a man respect you and love you for who you are.
That's what he was saying. But you ended up, obviously, you two dated. And
not dating. I was not dating him.
Really? So it was just...
Yeah, I know it's surprising. Every man I met, oh, no, but... No, this man...
Just when I hear a story about a guy like that, you know, it's like, it's classic. I just want to help you find your spiritual place, you know. I want to make you a better person. But they're like... Obviously, the guy liked you.
Nothing happened. Yeah, he liked me. It's an unconditional love. Yeah, yeah. But nothing happened.
Nothing happened. All right, okay. Well, yeah.
And now he had a girlfriend. I'm so happy for him. Like, they're coming to my birthday today, whatever.
Okay. I need to say this again. Happy birthday. We got your special. You're doing my podcast on your birthday. Wow. I feel honored. All right.
So the story is, we keep in touch for 1 year. I've been back to Nice and I was a tour guide and I was working with this company and they sent me to do like tour guiding.
Tour in a village.
Sure. I used to go to see my father and where I was abused.
Oh, wow.
I was in the train shaking every day and keep my anxiety, you know, and I have to pretend, oh, this is so cool to be a tour guide here. Mm-hmm. And I used to cry every night after, but this is not the big thing. It's the things people recognize me and they say, oh, you're the daughter of... And I had to explain, no, it's not my father anymore. And people say...
How do you feel about that? Because to me, this is something that strikes a chord in my heart. Because, like, when people use the term father, they have a very different idea about it. But, like, to you, you don't associate him with being your father.
No, but yeah. I don't know how to call him. I mean, I'm not going to say his name.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair enough. But
before,
it's just...
I was like, my real father, I was very more, I had anger, but now it's like, okay, this is the man put me in this world.
Sure.
That's it. But now I consider my father as he's my stepfather.
Oh, so, I see. So he was your actual stepfather.
No. I have a stepfather.
Yeah.
He was here, I was 3 years old until 17.
Yeah.
And he's still here in my life.
Okay.
And this is my stepfather. This is the man was here for me. He didn't hurt
me.
And I have a real father and... He's mad.
Oh, fair enough. Okay, I misunderstood. See, I even misunderstood that. So, because when the situation you were talking about, when people saying that this is your father, like that was your stepfather.
No, it's not my step. I mean,
the person
abused on me is not my stepfather. It's my father.
Yeah. Okay. So that's what
my stepfather was here, like a father.
I get that. But so I'm just trying to get clarity here. But the situation you were talking about, where some person recognized you and then mentioned
the people, they were from the village.
Okay, and they mentioned your father.
Yeah.
Was that actually your father they were referring to?
Yeah, real father.
I see, but you denied that, like saying that, oh, that's not my father, right?
Yeah, I was.
And what was the reason for that?
Because I was so much angry, I didn't go deeper with them, explain what happened.
Sure.
But they told me, that the thing shocked me. For that, I want to help the child to express their truth and the adult as well. Because they told me, oh yeah, it seems very weird, alcoholic. Okay, so you see a child with an alcoholic man and you do nothing.
Yeah.
This is normal, but yeah.
Yeah. I guess what I was trying to touch on is that there is this thing I find where when something has happened to you that is very negative, whether it's a lover or friend or family member, right? We want to distance ourselves from that person. Therefore, some people say, like, I've been in, you know, relationships where, you know, they've been amazing, like, you know, girl, like, we've been so close. And then because things don't work out, the person says, oh, you know, it was never anything serious anyway. And I never had any feelings for them. When they've actually written and said that, look, you're the most amazing person ever, right? But because something bad has happened, they disconnect and say, oh, no, we were never in a relationship. Or they say, oh, no, that was never my brother. That was you weren't my real friend. Or, you know, you're not my father. You weren't, you know, that kind of thing. And it's a scene that I find playing particularly with relationships dealing with family bonds and whatnot. And the terms that people use to define the relationships is something that tends to change. My attitude is that family, it doesn't change. Granted, we all have physiological bonds. Like, I have a biological brother, right? A biological father that passed away and so forth. That doesn't change, right? I will never say that someone is, like, my actual brother's not my brother, you know? So that's just how I look at it. But a lot of people feel this thing where because they no longer have a connection with someone, they don't look at them as a father figure or a mother figure. And it's something that I think is, it causes a lot of problems, particularly when we move into this world now where these terms are so loose and people no longer honor the actual definition of these words, you know, because it's something that I've dealt with, you know, in regards to my own family. Like when my father passed away, it was the hardest thing I'd ever gone through. And I have my mom, she remarried. My mom and my dad weren't together for a long time, and she remarried someone who effectively is my stepdad. And I would see them not that often. You know, I grew up with my dad, but people would say things like, oh, that is that, like, people, there would be this confusion now because in some people's minds, like, my father was, that they had a very different idea of what father means. In my mind, my father has always been my biological father, you know. But from a Ghanaian context, some people look at my stepdad, right, and say, oh, wait a sec, he's your dad right now. And just the way that I look at things, like, it doesn't change. Like, my biological, like, the connections that I have towards someone in terms of, like, family, that doesn't change. I mean, at least within the objective sense of mother, father. And it's just something I've also noticed people doing when they're no longer happy with a family member. They're like, oh, you're not my mother, you're not my brother anymore, that kind of thing. I don't play that game. But I just realized that a lot of people have a different idea as to how they define these terms, and it's just something I wanted to get your thoughts on.
Yeah, I think every case is different, you know. We are all in our journey, and before I was had a lot of anger, and I just deny, it's not my father anymore, how he can do that. But you know, I reconnect to God, all this divine energy, and I just have this intuition voice talk to me, and I become more rare. And what's happening in the transgenerational trauma, why my mom act like that, why my dad act like that. And I start very weird, but to have compassion, and to understand, you know, you become aware, oh, why? He couldn't be aware to abuse a child. It was, you know, he was on alcohol, he was always in doing suicide, want to do suicide, want to go to the hospital, but nobody talk about it. It was like, there's something wrong, but we don't talk about it.
Sure.
And he's supposed to be, I don't know, in the hospital. He even write a letter to my brother,
mm-hmm.
to the mother of my brother, and say, I should be dead, or I should be in a hospital. And he was supposed to go to jail many times for money, but have some family manage to for him to not be in jail. So, you know, he just used that, you know, to do it and do it again, and nobody stopped him. And it's like, you know,
I can relate to that situation.
It's very weird because I want to express now, mm-hmm. not to fight, but to let people aware, you know. I don't do that with anger always. Sure. You know, I want to fight with him. I just want to tell the truth, because this is the truth.
That's how you heal as well. Like, I find it's cathartic when you can speak about that. It means like it's a way of purging a lot of the negativity from you.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the times, like, there's this weird thing where I'm going on all these rants right now, but let me just say this. Like, we don't often give power to our words. And sometimes the most powerful thing that you can do is speak the truth. A lot of times people keep things secret because it's very traumatic, you know. But this is one of the powerful things about therapy. People say they're going to see a therapist because they have this insight into their psychology. I say, I don't even buy into that stuff. I don't give that much respect for most therapists, but it's the fact that you're now able to speak about a lot of the issues that you have and purge these neurotic holding patterns that have built up within your body. And by speaking the words, by making them conscious, forming them, it's a way of nourishing your soul, a way of addressing this negativity that has been hidden in some dark recess of your subconscious mind, bringing that out into the light and purging that. Like, one of the powerful things you can do about speaking the truth is you bring light. You bring the darkness into the light.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, darkness cannot stand within light. Yeah. And as a result, by speaking about your traumas, you're actually addressing it.
Yeah, and at the beginning, it was very weird. Like, why I have this intuition to just talk? And it was very, like, challenging, because I love meditation. I love visualization. I love to connect with my higher self and be interested into, like, law of attraction, neuroscience, permaculture. I saw myself, like, you know, in this eco village and host the people being sexual abused to heal. And I start to see myself speak on stage, in front of thousands of people, and I'm like, oh my god, how am I going to do that? Yeah, it's very funny, you cannot show me something easy. And I start to listen to this boy, do a podcast, and now I'm into a podcast.
Yeah, like, now you're on the Crystal Journey podcast.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah, dropping your wisdomatic truth bombs to, I know, 10 viewers. We'll get to a million soon enough.
Yeah. No, and what I'm going to talk about, but sexual abuse. Yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
And it's like, what the fuck?
No, but seriously, like, thank you for sharing that, because, I mean, this is a podcast I know a lot of people are going to want to listen to, you know, because I actually didn't know we'd be touching on something as challenging as this, but this is the kind of stuff that, whereas I'm sure it's difficult to talk about, it's the kind of stuff that people, I think, will gain the most from, because a lot of the times, one of the reasons I love listening to podcasts is I realize how connected I am, in the sense that, I have all these weird thoughts bubbling in my head, you know, I forget my train of thought, and because you hear other people do that in a podcast, it makes you realize, you know what? People have these same kind of thoughts, and the people are just like me in this regard. And it makes you more connected as opposed to just listening to the news, which projects this very fake representation of what's going on in the world. And often news presenters are like, welcome to National 9 News today. No one even speaks like that, you know? Whereas I must confess, in the real life, I'm not quite as silly, but I try to, you know, amp it up on the podcast. But it's more realistic. And that's why I love these kind of conversations. So you see yourself, what is the ideal Helena in the future? Like, where do you see the best version of yourself some years from now doing?
So when I use my technique to connect with my higher self, I saw myself in nature. So there is a mountain and there's people, like an eco village. And I saw myself welcome me in a white dress. And just, I explore the eco village I have created to host the people who've been through trauma and need to heal, like. And I I have my spiritual healing center, and I'm just friends. It's very ambitious with the best neuroscientist, the best psychologist, the best healer to help people heal quicker. Like even in 1 week, people can go there and just have the tools to heal themselves, because I really believe in that. And I know it's possible because I'm into energy. There is a lot of people talk about it. I saw myself travel the world. I do that already. Speak on stage. I speak on stage already.
Oh, wow.
Doing podcasts. I'm into a podcast. I know this. So it's just like
When's your next speaking engagement? You know, not to put you on the spot, but you gotta share this stuff out there. I'll be
the next one.
I
mean, in Australia, I'm not sure because I'm leaving soon, but I think they will be in France. I want to go and speak on stage and teach people breath work and also about energy, neuroscience, and share all the tools I've learned here in Australia, because it's not like open-minded. Now we start to talk about breath work, but I want to share with people and help people to heal themselves. Yeah.
That's powerful. Mad props for that. That means, like, I have so much respect for what you want to do, you know? Unlike me, there's just wants to serenade women on stage, you know? And, like, they sing a bit. Now, the truth is, like, I one of the most powerful things I think you can do is to inspire people. Mm. And inspiration takes effect in many ways. Sometimes it can be to heal, or it can be to breathe. Essentially, it's breathing life. That's what the word inspiration means, inspirare, to breathe life into someone. And I think when you're doing work where you're able to restore someone, inspire them, make them laugh, excite them, to essentially uplift their vibration, that manifests itself into uplifting the vibration of the planet, which is the, in a sense, it's the great work, you know, it's one of the best things that you can do. So I have a lot of respect for what you want to do. And whereas, you know, not everyone here might be able to see your speaking engagement, particularly if you're not in Australia, you, Helena, you have a podcast.
Yeah, right? I have a podcast.
What's it called?
Intuitive Voices.
Yeah.
What? Intuitive Voices. I've created that, I mean, 2 years ago, 3 years ago as well.
Okay.
But I thought that I want to do it in English, but I was in France. My English was not as good as now.
Your English is very good. It's even more interesting because some words I can't fully understand. I have to second guess myself. Like, denial.
And oh my god, it's okay.
No, I'm just making fun. It's actually lovely. Sorry. Tell me more about your podcast.
Okay, so the Intuitive Voice. I want to ask people to express their truth and to talk about different subjects into spirituality, neuroscience, breathwork. Everything can help other and create a community and start to co-create abundance together.
Powerful. Well, you know, I must admit, I think you invited me on your podcast and I was like, you know, she'd come on mine or something along those lines. So, you know, I mean, this is awesome having you come on my podcast, but I just really, I don't think I ever really do anyone else's podcast. So, you know, before you leave Australia, if you
put it out there. Yeah, you can come on my podcast, you know, of course.
See, might come on the Intuitive Voices and drop some wisdom added truth bombs,
voice,
ladies and gentlemen.
Beautiful voice for us.
Might even serenade you.
You didn't sing for me. It's my birthday.
Oh, it's
you. Something.
I should sing something, right?
Yes.
You know, I mean, I never thought I'd do this, but I'm going to pull out my guitar right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to sing for you, all right?
Actually,
right,
this is a concept of Intuitive Voices.
Yeah.
I host people, and at the end, they offer a practice or something to help others. So you have to find something with your voice.
Oh, you're putting me on the spot here.
Let's going to sing.
All right.
So this is manifestation.
Guitar back from being repaired today, so let's see if I can bust out something special for Helena, the beautiful French goddess. All right, let me see if I can play something that I'm sure even the people in France, that's like a country. France, all right, what do we got here? I
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Helena. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Helena. Happy birthday to you.
Hip hip! Hooray! Happy birthday, Helena.
Thank you. Mwah.
Ladies, you know, you should feel very privileged. I've never performed a song on any of my podcasts, so that is a first for me.
Wow.
It was kind of corny.
It's so special.
Ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. Another episode of the Crystal Journey podcast. We got, what's your full name, by the way? Do you just go by Helena? Do you have like an alias or something? I feel like you need a bigger introduction or something.
I mean, my last name?
Yeah.
Elena Payne.
Helena. Is that Helena?
Helena.
Oh,
Elena.
Elena.
Elena Payne.
Elena.
Payne. No pain, no gain.
Yeah, no pain, no gain. I love it. I love it. All right. Well, Elena Payne, I want to say that it has been a pleasure to do this podcast with you.
No. Can I teach you a sentence? Very important.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. I'd love to hear it.
Particularly. On ne dit pas.
Oh. All right. I mean, she's teaching me some French right now. Oh, this turns me on.
On ne dit pas.
On ne dit pas.
Chocolatine.
Chocolatine.
Mais. Pain au chocolat.
Pain au chocolat.
On ne dit pas.
On ne dit pas.
Chocolatine.
Chocolatine.
Mais pain au chocolat.
Mais pain au chocolat. How that sound? What did I say? What did I say?
So, there is a fight in France between the chocolate croissant, the name. So,
okay, there's a fight.
There's a part of France, they call it chocolatine. Yeah. And my part of France call it pain au chocolat. So if you go to France, you have to say pain au chocolat.
Oh, really? So you're on the chocolate team. Oh, I see.
Pain
au chocolat. Good thing.
Yeah, I love chocolate.
Love chocolate? Well, everybody loves some chocolate, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. If you go to France, be sure to ask for some pain au chocolat. Helena, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's been a pleasure. It has been powerful. It has been tumultuous. It has been inspirational. And it has been a really good opportunity to gain an insight into dealing with some of the difficulties, you know, that people go through in the world, which is what this podcast humbly is about. It's about giving people different perspectives. It's about sharing our thoughts, ideas, and allowing us to connect. So once again, it is an absolute pleasure having you on here, and I have no doubt that you are going to influence many people as you are on a daily basis by being so authentic and inspirational and having a beautiful smile.
Thank you. Thank you for all the space for me. I really appreciate it.
Anytime. Ladies and gentlemen, you can find out more about Helena.
Yeah.
You're on Instagram.
Yeah.
I know you're into TikToks because that's how you found me.
No, you found me. Why you lie? No. I follow you. You follow me back.
Yeah, she's like, oh, you're
and
so,
you
you're
invite
conscious,
me.
You're so spiritual.
You invite me to the mind body spirit. Such a
I want to connect with you. And you're all over the internet. Obviously, you got a podcast, so people can hit you up there. I will put the details,
the links down below.
And ladies and gentlemen, be sure to wish this beautiful lass a happy birthday. Send her some love. Reach out to her, as I'm sure you will. And remember, there are three things that cannot remain hidden for long, as I always like to say. The sun, the moon, and the beautiful pomme chocolat smile of the chocolate moon and his beautiful ass over here. All right. Peace, ladies and gentlemen. Signing out. The Crystal Journey. Ow!
Bye-bye.
Yeah, say, wait, bye-bye.
Au revoir.
Yeah, au revoir. So, give me
et abonnez-vous à ce podcast.
Give him a French kiss goodbye. I know.